The first passage we'll go to is Isaiah chapter 6. If you'll be turning there. For the past couple of weeks, me and Vance and Brother Jeff have been doing a study together and looking at personal evangelism. And that's kind of what I want to focus on tonight. How can we go out and have the courage and attitude to talk to others? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees a vision. He sees God in his throne room with the seraphim around the throne. And God asks the question in verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" So how can we get this attitude that Isaiah had? Here am I, send me. Let's look at his attitude. He didn't give any excuses to God. He didn't say, "Well, you know, Lord, how the people are. They'll never listen." No, he didn't give any excuses like that. And in verse 10 and 11, says, God says, render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Pay attention to this. Then I said, "Lord, how long?" So when I read my Bible, I like to put myself in that scene, try and imagine it the way it happened. And God is saying, these people, they're not going to listen to you. And the tone I hear in Isaiah's question is that of sorrow and sympathy for the people. Lord, how long? So we need to have that same concern and sympathy for everybody we come in contact with. He also didn't say that he didn't want to do it because the message was too hard to preach. And it was hard. What the Lord told him to speak to the people was that the people are going to be destroyed. They're going to be taken captive, and only a remnant shall remain. That's a hard, talk about a message of doom and gloom. That's a hard thing to preach to everybody. Well, sometimes the gospel can be hard to preach. Sometimes we have to help people understand their sin, help them get over their sin and realize their need for Christ. And that's not always easy. We as people don't want to tell people what they don't want to hear. We want to tell them, "Hey, you're doing good. You're right. Everything's going to be okay." But we can't do that, not as Christians. So Isaiah has a good and willing attitude, and he didn't give God any excuses. Here am I. Send me. The goal of tonight's lesson is to help us get to a point where attitude and our answer is like that of Isaiah's. God has given each and every one of us a task. He asks that you and me spread the gospel and teach others and everyone who we come in contact with. Our actions, our words, our attitudes should leave a person impressed and curious and wanting to have what we have as Christians. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Tonight we'll be breaking down John chapter 4 and looking at Jesus and the Samaritan woman and how Jesus talked with her and got her to realize her need for Christ and what good came from that. Let's look at John 4:35. Jesus is talking to his disciples here. He says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes a harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." The fields are white for harvest. We've just got to be willing to go out and work and get the reward. So in John 4, we see Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And no one understood this phrase, "Here am I, send me," like Jesus did. Jesus descended from heaven, came to earth, and took on the form of a man and devoted his life to doing the will of God. He understood what the will of God is, and we have to understand it. Once Jesus understood and did what God wanted him to, God was well pleased in him. And this is a trait of Jesus that we all should have. Jesus was always turned on to the gospel. He was always looking for an opportunity to say something about God, say something about his will. And we see this easily in John 4, verse 7 through 10. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus here starts off by talking about physical water. "Give me a drink of water." And the woman is thrown off guard completely because Jesus is a Jew and she is a Samaritan woman. And the Jews and the Samaritans hate each other. So she is taken aback by this. In verse 9, you see what she says. "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" Jesus then turns the table on her and starts talking about spiritual water and the gift of God. It's obvious to us as readers that Jesus is more concerned about her spiritual condition than his physical needs. In verse 6, it says, "And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well." And it was about the sixth hour. So Jesus had just completed a long journey. He was tired. He was thirsty, sitting by a well. He needed water, but it was very obvious that he was more concerned about this woman's soul. And we need to get to that point. So Jesus is talking about spiritual things to her, but she hasn't quite caught on yet in verses 11 and 12. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" So she's still thinking about this physical water and how Jesus is going to get it when he doesn't have anything to draw with. Verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will come in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Jesus is still trying to get the woman to understand that this water is life-giving water. And folks, you and I, we have this water ourselves. People are thirsty. We've got to share this with them. We've got to give them the satisfaction, fulfill their thirst. Now in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." See, now she's starting to get intrigued. She's starting to ask questions. He said, "Give me this water so I don't ever thirst again." Verse 16, and he said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." I believe Jesus is bringing this matter up of her husband to try and get her to understand that this is no ordinary man. He has authority given to him by God. And she sees this and understands this in verse 19. She says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." She finally gets that. Once she understands that Jesus is a spiritual man, she asks a spiritual question in verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." So she wants to know who is right about where to worship, the Jews in Jerusalem or the Samaritans on this mountain. Well, Jesus answers her question in verse 21, and we'll read to 24. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus is saying that the time is near where you will not worship on this mountain, and the Jews will not worship in Jerusalem. God wants true worshipers. He is spirit, so His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. She understands that she needs Christ, the Messiah, and that when he comes, he will tell them everything that they need to do to have life, everything that they need to do to be saved. Jesus isn't trying to convert her to Judaism. He was just trying to get her to understand that she needs Him. She needs the Messiah. And that's what we must do. It's important to keep in mind that we don't stay focused on the church and that we try and convert people to the church. We need to convert people to Christ. I believe Brother Jeff, several years back, made this quote and it just stuck with me. He said, we need to be converting people to Christ, not the church. When they know Christ, then they will worship with the church. I find it time and time again to be true. We need to be out there, not converting people to Oakland, but to Christ. Then they will come and worship. Now verse 27 and 30. At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with the woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. So let's get down to verse 39 through 42. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days, and many more believed because of his word. So let's look at all the good things that came from this. Jesus only took a few minutes to talk to this woman about spiritual things, and he had great results from it. She finds the Christ. She goes and tells the men in the city about him. They believe her, and then they go out and seek him. And then he stays with them 2 more days, and many more believed. So just because Jesus took the time to speak to her, her and her whole city was believed. Now let's read 31 through 34. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. When the disciples come to Jesus, they urge him to eat. But when he refused and told them that he already had food they didn't know about. I think that what Jesus is saying here, that doing the will of God is satisfying. When he's talking to somebody outside of the Christ, and they get it, they finally get it, they realize that they need Christ, it's satisfying. And that the disciples don't quite know that yet. They haven't started their ministry. Jesus said that his food is to do God's will and to finish his work. It's satisfying when we finally get to baptize a brother or a sister. Now I want to look at applications from this. We must always be turned on and seeking opportunities to spread the gospel and to take advantage of them. Oftentimes we can pray for opportunities and God will give them to us. He will present us opportunities. We just have to take a hold of it. And we have to initiate the conversation a lot of times. And that's not always easy. But if you look, they're there. Second, we must always be willing to place saving souls over other worldly things. Jesus placed this woman's soul over his physical needs. He was very tired, very hungry, but he realized that her soul was more important than a cup of water. And once we get to that point, it is amazing what we will be able to do. We must always have our mind on spiritual things and keep that as our focus. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. And that's not what I wanted. Okay. What I wanted was the passage where it was talking about dwelling on good things, dwelling on heavenly things, dwelling on the pure things. And once we dwell on that and we put our mind on that higher plane, it will become easier to talk about that stuff, talk about that to other people, and get them to realize their need and to save their souls. We must be willing to talk to others and get rid of all excuses and all prejudices. Jesus had several good excuses he could have gave to not talking to this woman. He was wearied from his long journey and he was too tired to talk. Or she was a Samaritan woman and the Jews just didn't do anything with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were dogs to Jews. But Jesus, despite his excuses and the prejudices, he talked to her and was able to save her soul. And we must always be ready to give a defense and to answer questions. 2 Timothy 3:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The King James Version says, study to present yourself approved. So we have to always study, be devoted to study and reading the Bible and devoted to prayer so that we will be ready to give a defense and to answer the questions that people are going to ask us. And if you don't know something, it's okay to say, hang on, I don't quite understand this yet. Let me study some more, and I will come back to you with an answer. We must convert people to Christ and not the church. It's easy to get that mindset of converting people to the church, to Oakland. However, we have to have the mindset to bring people to Christ. And once they understand their need for Christ, and they read their Bible, and they understand it more, then they will come and worship with the church. The last point I take from this is, we need to be willing to encourage and admonish them. Once the whole city believed in Jesus, he stayed with them 2 more days, and many more believed. No doubt, Jesus was working signs and miracles, strengthening their belief and teaching them further. Once we convert a soul and save that soul, we need to be continually encouraging them, asking about them, and admonishing them. And once we do that, ultimately we will be strengthened too. There is work to be done, folks. John 4, 35 through 38. I sent to you reapers. John 4, 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do not say, 'There are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest.' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for the life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Jesus is saying it takes a team to save souls sometimes. One person may be really good at initiating a conversation and setting up a study, but they may not be good with actual studying. But the other person is very good with studying with somebody, and they can get together and help save the soul. And they reap the reward together. We have our work cut out for us. There are many people out there looking and searching, and they need somebody to help them find Christ. The fields are white for harvest, but the workers are few. The only way the Lord's church will grow is if we get out and do the work. If we just warm the pew, the church will never grow. We have to go into the world, talk about Christ and what He has done for you. And we cannot be ashamed of our faith. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." In Romans 1, 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We have to be bold in our faith. We have to stand firm in what we believe. We cannot be ashamed. We know what the Bible says and what God requires of us. James 4, 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." So I ask this question. God has given you a task. How are you going to respond to it? "Here am I, send me." If you are subject to the invitation tonight, I'd like for you to please come forward while we stand and sing.